Good morning to everyone who's online today from Brisbane and from other places around Australia and from the globe. And thank you all for being able to listen. It's absolutely nearly impossible to not talk about this coronavirus and how it's affecting each and every one of us in some way, either majorly or minor. Not one of us could say we haven't heard about it, been affected by it in our working life or in our daily life. The fact that I'm here sitting in my office today, giving you the exhort and trying to give us some positivity and comfort in remembering our elder brother Jesus, shows that this virus really has changed the world. I have two young boys. They are not immune to the hysteria around this virus. They ask a lot of questions. They want to know what's going on, but as a parent, boy, is it hard to explain it in a way not to scare them too much. So with that in mind, I begin today talking to you about children. They are our future. Most of us baptized either have children or are considering it in the future. I was shown this statement recently, and it really made me think, because ever since this virus, this news broke, I've been thinking to myself, how is it going to affect me, my life, my business, and what do I do next? But also, what about our kids? Everyone is applauding our frontline workers, our healthcare, which is absolutely given as they do a great job, as you can see. But what about our kids? They have stayed indoors or at home without fully understanding why. Their little lives have been turned upside down. They've been banned from seeing their friends, their cousins, and their families. All of these rules that they've never known, and all this talk from adults about people getting sick, people passing away, countries and states getting locked down, and all but essential travel being banned. Our kids' minds must be racing just as much as we are. But yet each and every day, they get up, they run, they play, they laugh, and they smile. They paint pictures, and they draw chalk messages on the footpaths to brighten people's days. Our children are heroes as well. After all, what they have felt and gone through so far, and still, they seem to make us feel so good. So could this virus be a message from God? Are we ready to listen? So in what feels like the blink of an eye, the world that we know has changed. It's no longer a place of relative safety. Where we normally luxuriate in comfort, routine and excess, but it's all too quickly become a perilous place where all men's hearts are failing them for fear. All mankind has come to recognize that we cannot control world events. Day by day, each news report brings another tidal wave of uncertainty. Leaders of countries are changing policies just as quickly as they made them. Hospitals, banks, businesses, shops, and families are struggling to keep up with all the events. And in amongst all this chaos, we begin to wonder, are we ever going to find a calm? Perhaps we ought to use this time of isolation to stop, reflect, and search for the answers from a power greater than ourselves. In the Bible, God tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we not living in those perilous times? The chapter carries on to tell us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4, for men should be lovers of themselves, lovers of money and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good traders, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And all this is sadly true of the world that we live in. God made a promise to King Solomon that he would always be with him, but only as long as Solomon walked in the ways of God. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn away from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 and 14. So we may ask ourselves, what's the answer for us today? The Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes gives us this answer. It's very simple. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is all God has ever asked for. It's quite simple, really. But for thousands of years, people have turned their back on him. Excuse me. We're getting close to the time when he said he will send back his son to the earth. And in the book of Matthew, we are told, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not leave its light. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What does this mean for us then? Don't stress about what tomorrow will bring, as Jesus tells in Matthew. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Tomorrow is tomorrow. It's another day. Worrying about it right now isn't going to change things. Rather, turn to God and seek his coming kingdom, when goodness and mercy will prevail. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we do this, we have nothing to fear. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This threat of catching coronavirus has made us all aware of the importance of washing our hands. Excuse me. We hear it every time we listen to the news, we read a newspaper. We are reminded the importance of making sure we wash them thoroughly. Everywhere I work, there are signs up with the exact same thing about washing your hands. Now, when I was a teenager, I remember reading this same information I'm about to read to you from one of my talks I did in young people's class, and yet still relevant today. So the washing of hands is not a new idea. In the last century, one in four pregnant mothers who entered a hospital died from some form of infection. Philip Ignaz Semmelweis, an obstetrician, had a death rate of only 8 women in 1,000. That was less than 1%. So what was his secret? Very, very simply, he washed his hands. In the 19th century, doctors often went from the mortuary or from a surgery, excuse me, straight back into their rounds of the hospital wards. They hardly stopped to wipe their hands on their already soiled aprons. So Dr. Semmelweis realized that they were spreading the diseases from the infected patients into the healthy ones. But this washing of hands and personal hygiene was stressed 3,500 years ago, previously in the law of God, in the law of Moses, given by God in the Old Testament of the Bible. So here's just two examples. So number one, prevent the spread of infection. A man or woman who had a bodily discharge was considered unclean until investigation by the priest. their bed, and anyone who touched the bed or touched them was then considered unclean. Moses writes, anyone a man with a discharge touches without rinsing his hands with water must wash his clothes and bathe with water. Excuse me. And he will be unclean until the evening. In Leviticus 15, verses 2 to 11. So this is just one illustration of many cases of treating infection. So number two, isolation and quarantine. Right now, we're being advised, stay home, which we all are doing right now. And if there is a likelihood that you've been in contact with anyone, that you might be able to pass on this new virus. The law of Moses states, when anyone has an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to a priest. The priest is to put the infection person in isolation for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine him, and if unchanged, he is to keep him in isolation another 7 days. Leviticus 13. Once pronounced clean, the man had to wash his clothes and shave off his hair and bathe in water. So how did the people of Israel know about these vital matters? Because God told them, and Moses reminded them to obey what God had commanded them. Do keep washing your hands to help combat this new virus. So Easter is normally a time that a lot of us go to the Easter camp to catch up. And Easter is also the one time that normally most mainstream Christian churches and Catholic symbolize Jesus' death. And it's only one of a very select few times that these people attend church, as they say. But we're Christadelphians. We come together each and every Sunday, even in this time of uncertainty and utmost fear, and we still work out a way to remember our absent Lord each and every week on Sunday, not just on Easter. Jesus died for us to give us a chance at a better life in the kingdom age. That should buoy us today and give us a chance to smile, to take a deep breath and to consider this. Hey, things right now are super scary. They're uncertain and they're an absolute mess. But we all need to pray, to listen to God's word, and to know if we are worthy, all of this is just a memory, and a better life for us is just around the corner with Jesus as our King. I say it again, smile, sit up, take a deep breath. We have a better future afforded to us, and that should really help us this week to start fresh, feel 100% better. Let us now remember him who we come here to remember each and every week, our Master Jesus.